The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, we're taking baby steps over here.
Baby steps.
Literal baby. Yeah, I'm shuffling around. I'm walking.
You're upright.
I'm upright. I took a shower standing up yesterday for the first time in 2 months. That felt real good.
Oh, I bet.
Not to say that taking a shower sitting down isn't awesome when it's a choice.
Sure.
You could give yourself a little flash dance in there. but when it's a forced, when you're on an aluminum medical chair, it's a forced sit for a shower, you kind of feel like. I was getting bummed out. I was starting to get to like, no, this is like I'll recover from this and everything. It's fine. But I was like, no, things just get, everything gets old. Things slow down. I was getting into that headspace. I was like, uh-oh, look out, man.
I used to do this when I was a kid. It was so much fun. And I don't know why I don't do it now. But occasionally I would take a bath as a child. I was never really I was a bath kid, you know, really young, just because your parents sit you in there and don't really give you any choice.
Yeah.
But once I started, you know, taking a shower on my own, sometimes I'd still take a bath, but then I would turn the shower on. So I would just sit in the bath and have the shower just hit me in the head. And, man, that was so much fun. It just, like, it felt like it was raining. It was like I figured out how to control the weather or something as a little idiot.
Guys, just running that water bill up for the family.
Yeah, sure. I had no knowledge or concern
stone,
of that.
Stone household responsible for all droughts in the Atlanta area and the Georgia area.
Yep. It was so much fun just sitting in a full bath, but then still having the shower coming down on you. Oh, man, I thought I really figured something out with that.
Well, let's talk about you had a birthday, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Nice birthday.
Is this 49 or is it 50?
49. Hey, and speaking of, not to deflect from that, but Boogie had a birthday. We're 10 years old, buddy.
Are we 10 years old? Does it count?
We're 10 years old.
Do we count?
I mean,
we split up and then we renewed our vows, so I don't know if that counts towards the total.
The divorce was never legal, so I'm counting it, man. We're still together.
Yeah, we were just split up for a while, man. We didn't do anything with paperwork.
But yeah, 10 years ago, man.
Hot dog. How about that?
I mean, I was just thinking the other day how both of our lives have changed so much in 10 years. And, I mean, probably everyone, you know, 10 years. 10 years is a long time. You've been away a long time. They didn't go up there and tell you, I don't shine shoes no more. But, yeah, when we started this, I was living in a van. So I was like, oh, okay, well, all things considered, I guess this is forward progress. I'm indoors.
It's a lot of forward progress. Paired up.
Paired up.
I was paired up. I'm not paired up anymore, but I got a house. I live in a different state.
Yep.
I got two cats, one of which is staring at me now. Elegance. Yeah. What you need, brother.
Elegance.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to us.
Nothing too crazy. Just took it easy. Yeah. Got some nice Italian food.
Where'd we go? We go somewhere?
No, we went and picked it up and brought it home. Osterio La Buca. Best Italian food that I found in L.A. Just incredible stuff. I had a short rib ravioli.
Okay, dude. Okay.
It was incredible.
I'm listening.
It's really good. Had some crazy, like, flash-fried garlic artichokes, artichoke hearts, artichoke leaves. I don't know. Some artichokes.
Artichokes are good, ravioli. But what a lot of work.
Yeah, well, at this place, they do all of it for you. So,
well, restaurants I don't know enough about.
Yeah, yeah. But I've been to plenty of restaurants. No, but I've been to restaurants where you have to, like, scrape the leaf with your teeth.
At this
you know what
place,
I'm saying?
They do it for you. They cook it and prepare it and put it on a plate right in front of you.
They just handed me a bag full of food. It was great. But no, I've had the kind where you have to kind of scrape the soft part off and leave the hard part. This was just the soft part.
Well, that's artichoke heart. We would have artichokes as a kid, and I thought I kind of enjoyed the little ritual, like having the dish of the melted butter and lemon, and you'd peel off the leaves and get the meat off the leaves.
Yeah.
It's kind of a
That's what I'm thinking. So I guess, yeah, that's the whole, the leaf, I guess, yeah, it's that process. So I'm just having the hearts. But, yeah, fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Broke my, I'm not going to say broke. I intended to do this, but had some booze. And
you don't say.
Pretty underwhelming. My fear was that I would have that first drink and then just turn into a, you know, thirsty guy in the desert or something. Like, oh, my God, thank God, where have you been? But yeah. I had a couple of Jack and Cokes or Jim Beam Black and Cokes, and it was fine, but it wasn't like, oh, old friend, where have you been? It was just like, eh. I had two one night and one the other night, so I had three drinks, and eh. It was fine.
No, that's kind of how I felt when I came back to it, was like, okay, this is a thing I can do again. Did you feel guilty at all after having gone for so long and then having some?
You broke up a little. Did I what?
Oh, I was going to say, did you feel guilty at all having gone
because
for as long as you did and then not, and then having alcohol?
No, because I had planned it. Like I said, like when I started the New Year's resolution, it was a little unrealistic. I thought that I'm just never going to drink ever again.
Yeah.
So, but the goal was to just stop it from being kind of a daily or weekly routine, which I have. So, but yeah, from day one, I knew, I was like, all right, what if I gave myself, you know, three times a year? And then I was like, all right, well, what would those three times be? And I was like, when do I want to chill and relax and maybe have some drinks? Birthday, Halloween, Christmas/New Year. So,
okay.
Yeah. I had planned it. And, but what I'm happy about is that it wasn't just some, oh my God, where have you been, and drink a whole bottle in one night thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I was almost pleased that it wasn't spectacular, you know?
It was controlled. You handled it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man. And not to sound defensive, but just to reiterate, like, I didn't stop because I truly thought I had a problem with alcohol. I just had a general problem with sugar and diet, and was like, this just, there's obviously nothing positive by including alcohol in your regular diet. So I was just like, eh, let's just put an end to it for a while. So
there you
go. No big deal.
Well, nice, buddy. Good on you.
Yeah. And Katie spoiled me with some great gifts, got me a way too big gift card to Amoeba Records that I've already completely burned through. So that is fun. Like, obviously, you know, I've talked ad nauseum about how much I love records and jazz and stuff, but like there's still a level of guilt when, like, okay, I'm spending money on records when maybe I could be spending on something more productive. But like when you get given a gift card, we're like, I can only spend this here. So, game on, motherfucker.
You gotta have them, buddy.
Walking into a record store with a big, fat gift card in your pocket. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's just so much fun. I had so much fun.
Well.
But, yeah.
But, well, yeah, good times, on you, man. That's a good deal. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, man. But, yeah, things are good. And Katie's birthday was 5 days later, so the whole week was kind of birthday. Birthday stuff.
Did we talk about that? And I'm not trying to get foul about it, but what kind of fucking went on? I know so many birthdays in the last week.
Yeah.
My ex and another ex are on the 10th, both of them.
Yeah. I've got a couple of buddies that have the same birthday. Shout out to our buddy Wes Van Horn. We're exactly 10 years apart, same birthday.
Okay, but 9 months
got a couple
from
of
now.
Atlanta buddies with that, yeah.
Yeah, what went down after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Why is this? I maybe it's just you noticed one and then you start hearing about everybody else's birthday, but is there something with like Thanksgiving that makes people horny and then like everybody's born beginning of August?
Yeah, I don't know. I think about that with people who have like mid-November birthdays. Like, oh, someone had a good Valentine's.
Yeah, but is it just the 4-day weekend alone? Is it just
and
the
you would
4-day
think too,
Thanksgiving weekend?
You would think that'd be a holiday? You think that would be one of the least fuckable holidays because everybody's full.
Yes, that's what I'm. You know, you're full, but you got 4 days to recover. So, you know.
Yeah.
Wednesday's the party night because mm-hmm. you finally got some, you got off work.
Sure.
So maybe it's the Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. So you were conceived under the guise of booze and then you were just filled with food right after. Oh, you're new to this mm-hmm. world? This is what it's about.
I've known families and friends where, like, I knew this one crew, three brothers, and they were all different ages, but they all had, I forgot what their birthdays were, but all their birthdays were around the same week. It's like, oh, so your parents just, they only had sex one time a year? Like, that's bizarre, when multiple siblings kind of have the same birthday.
I wonder if a family has planned it out, like, I'm not throwing a bunch of parties. Listen, I want a large family, but I don't like birthday parties, so we got to make sure all these kids are getting the same party. We're blowing it out.
Yep. Oh, man, that's funny.
It's the day. Today's the day. Let's go. No rubbers. Today's the day.
And see, I don't know enough about, like, the astrology signs and stuff, but a lot of people are surprised when they find out Katie is also a Leo. See, and I don't know how the little rules are. Like, oh, two Leos. Is that good? Is that bad? But I don't know. I never did. It's not that I discount it. It's just it's something I never cared to learn about. Like, oh, what's your sign and who you're compatible with and all that.
Yeah, that's not my thing. I don't give a shit about that. I mean, somebody had already called it, like, I've heard a few bits where they call it, like, birthday racism or something, where it's an excuse to be prejudiced that's not based on skin tone. Like, oh, you're a what? Well, then we can't get along. I'm like, all right.
Sorry.
That's the way you want to go through life. All right.
Yeah.
But, well, I'm glad it was a good birthday, man.
Yeah, man. It was good times.
What did I do around here? I saw The Odyssey.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
Hell of a film.
Katie is seeing that right now.
Oh, is she going? I don't know if it's in the IMAX still. Look at us talking about current events, a movie that came out a month and a half ago.
Has it been that long?
I knew it was leaving IMAX.
Yeah.
And I went. Well worth it, man.
Really?
I wish every time I go to the movies, I'm like, I'm so glad I went to the movies. And then I'm at mm-hmm. home. I'm like, why am I going to go to the movies? I got TV. I got all the channels.
Sure. Sure.
But Epic Tale, didn't know much about it. Didn't read the book.
I read it in high school. It's one of the few required readings that stuck with me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know if I read any required reading in high school. And I don't even remember that one coming up as a required reading. It's for being good and, like, getting good grades in English and writing all that stuff, I don't remember anything that was taught. I don't remember any reading that was taught that, like, stuck with me or anything. Mm-hmm. But this, well done. I thought everybody was acted well in it. And saw it on a small, like, a little art house kind of theater, which is not how everybody's saying you got to go see it on a big old screen. But good time, buddy. I'm surprised.
It's cool.
Why didn't you go with your missus to see it?
Well, because you and I had this appointment.
Oh.
So.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to ruin the experience for you.
Just last night, she's taken our elderly neighbor, Mark. She kind of chauffeurs him around town, takes him grocery shopping and stuff. She's like, Mark wants to go see the Odyssey today. I was like, yeah, y'all have fun. I can't go.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice she's doing
it. I do want to see it. Speaking of movies, this wasn't like an intentional thing that I set out to do, but it was just, I don't know. It falls in line with an overarching principle that I've been trying to adhere to, and we've talked a lot about it, but just continuing with revisiting things that I once dismissed or once had zero interest in. And it just hit me the other day that I forgot what movie made me do it, but it has since spawned a streak of this genre. I've since recently gotten into sci-fi movies, and for most of my life, I've never given a shit about sci-fi. I mean, I watched Star Wars when I was a kid and some of that stuff, but, like, I think we've mentioned before, I've never seen a Marvel movie. I've not seen one Marvel movie.
I don't think they're called a sci-fi movie.
I know that's not technically
genre,
sci-fi.
Right? Superhero,
but
genre, superhero over the top.
That whole realm, you know. But I could never articulate. I never had a reason why I didn't like sci-fi. It was just something that never appealed to me. But just the other day, it was Blade Runner. I watched the original Blade Runner, And then that spawned, I watched THX, is it 1138? George Lucas before Star Wars with Robert Duvall. That was pretty good. I watched Donnie Darko. I saw that when it first came out and was so high or something, it did nothing stuck, and
about
I didn't know what
same.
It was. But I
same experience.
But worth a revisit. Like if you pay attention, it was good.
And
it was
that
entertaining.
When did that come out? Was that like a 97?
I think that was like 01.
Oh, really?
2000, okay. 2001. Maybe late 90s, but I think I saw
Donnie Darko
next to it.
2001.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the era of just getting high as shit and going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, I probably saw every movie that came out in that era. I couldn't tell you about any of them.
Yeah, I mean, that one was good. It's confusing. It's about, I can't even tell you what it's about. But I guess it's about parallel timelines, alternate timelines, alternate universes. But, yeah, enjoyed that. I rewatched Ex Machina. That was great. I think that's how you pronounce that. I don't know if it's Machina or Machina, but I've heard people say Machina.
I can't help you on it.
That was good. And then I watched, I don't know if it's The Martian or just Martian with, what's his fuck, Odyssey
guy. Damon.
Matt Damon.
I watched that one.
It was, good. I mean, it was fine. But I think Blade Runner and Donnie Darko, I really, really enjoy those. I'm going to this week watch the new Blade Runner. What is it? Blade Runner 2049 or something like that.
I tried to watch the original Blade Runner, and I have to admit, it didn't take for me, and I just don't
it's
know.
Slow.
Yeah,
it's a slow burn.
Yeah, and I'm watching a movie. Like, I get home at the end of the night, let's try a movie, and I just, it didn't take for me. I might not be the guy. Mm-hmm. For these things, like they showed the preview. I guess there's another Dune coming out, and
really? I haven't seen any of those.
I can almost swear on someone's life. I don't think I'm ever going to watch Dune, and that is not. It has nothing to. I don't think it sucks or like. I just look at the preview and I was like, I don't care. And that sounds. Mm-hmm. I know it does not make me sound like an intellectually curious or someone who could appreciate the arts. But I'm like. Like most sci-fi stuff, I'm like, it's doing nothing for me. It's like a gay guy at a strip club. I'm like, I get that. I understand why people like this. It is doing. It is eliciting no response from me.
Yeah, that's how I've been my whole life. But I was just like, let me revisit some of this and see if it clicks. And you know, I think just going into it with the right mindset of like, all right, I'm kind of like when you're rooting for a comic. Like I'm on board. Yeah. I'm here. I got laughs locked and loaded, buddy. Just tell me when to laugh.
I want you to do well.
I want you to do well. So, yeah, I was like, everybody says this is great. It's a classic. I got to watch it. And, yeah, I mean, the story was definitely fairly slow, but I think I enjoyed just all the scenery. And, yeah, I mean, it was visually, it was very, very impressive. Even for being a, 44-year-old movie.
I got to get down on it. I finally finished Mad Men. That's all these plans I had for my 8 weeks, because Thursday will be 8 weeks since the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to. All I did was I watched Mad Men. That's what I did with my 8 weeks. I watched all of Mad Men. And the best summary I could come up for Mad Men is it's a lot like the game show Wipeout, where, there's a lot of obstacles. Facing these men in advertising, a lot of these obstacles, trying to knock them off track. And when they do get knocked off track, they fall into a sea of pussy.
Yeah.
So that's all Mad Men was. And then the ending was kind of like this, whatever the fuck. And I'm like, why did I do this? It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad. I've seen it. But yeah, I felt the same way. I was like, okay, I've seen this. It's good.
But I could see like,
that one character I couldn't stand, the guy who's supposed to be the little weasel coworker.
Well, yeah, just, he did that job. He did a very good job of being the guy you weren't supposed to stand.
Yeah, that guy was pretty unlikable. But yeah, like you said, did good at his job, I guess.
But it's not a bingeable show. I could see the hype around it when it came out and how it's, the setting and the set decoration and the how they captured that was impressive. But when you're just watching episode after episode, that kind of gets lost in your. Realizing like, the story is just Don Draper got sad, so he banged a flight attendant. anyway, But okay, well, I guess start watching the classics.
Yeah, man.
I tried to have I was on a little white wine and the Lord's tea, a little marijuana last night when I got back from the comedy show, and I put on God damn it. I wasn't like blasted out of it. I was just in a good silly mood. What was the Jennifer Lawrence comedy movie that came out not too long ago?
No Hard Feelings.
Yeah, I started that up, and I was like, I'm sick of scrolling. Just pick a movie; it's fine. Mm-hmm. And I had some good belly laughs for about 10 minutes before I just passed out on the couch.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I like her.
I think she's funny.
I like most everything she's done. Yeah,
I think she got good chops with the comedy.
Yeah, I've always liked her. I didn't that one that kind of blew her up. I didn't love that movie, but
the Hunger
she was
Games?
Good in it. No, yeah, that probably definitely blew her up more. But the one with Goober Bradley, what's his fuck? Where he's a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Bradley Cooper.
Oh, Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, that one, that was, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was its own thing going on there.
It was
there.
Fine, but she was good, but yeah. But yeah, man.
Look at us film critics. I haven't seen it. I don't know. Watched half of it while I was stoned. I don't know.
Don't give a shit.
Don't care. Don't care about the genre. Dave, August is the perfect time to hit reset before the autumn rush begins. I don't know if you know that. And honestly, I can't think of a better place to start than my closet. That's why I love shopping at Quince. Quince is all about fewer, better pieces. Their clothes are made with premium materials, built to last, and designed to become the ones you reach for day after day. Quince specializes in everyday staples that work harder. If you're still hanging on to the same worn-out basics, Quince makes it easy to upgrade. They have premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60. Perfect fit, structure, and high-quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. You can see that on their website. They work directly with ethical factories. How important is that? And cut out the middlemen. So you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. I got corduroy pants from them. That's what I got. They fit good. They look good. What do you need? Go to Quince. They got it.
They got all kinds of stuff. They sent me a couple of shirts because sometimes you run across an occasion that requires more than a black, holy pocket tee.
I think that would go back to that talking point of you're hanging out of those same worn-out basics.
Yeah, I got too many basics. But here's what you do. Upgrade your everyday. Go to quince.com/boogie. You're going to get free shipping on your order and a 365-day return if needed. Now available in Canada and the UK, too. That's Quince.com. Quince.com/boogie for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/boogie. Oh boy!
Anyway,
everything else going well?
Yeah, I'm taping. I'm gonna do tonight and tomorrow night. I'm taping. That's why I've been distracted. Sorry, David. List for the listeners. David called me like ready to record. I'm like, oh, I totally spaced out because I woke up at 11:30 today. I'm gonna record all his broken leg stuff.
Okay.
And put it out. It's been writing a bunch of material, so I've only done it three times. But I'm like, oh, I'll record. It's gonna be like a. Like when a pregnant lady gets a Netflix special. I gotta do this material now while the visual's still there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I watched Rory's new special last night.
He got a Netflix, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was good. If people have seen it, the ending kind of caught me off guard. I won't give anything away, but yeah. Just not what you were expecting from Rory.
Oh, really?
If people have seen it, they know what I'm talking about with the ending. The whole time I was like, I kept waiting for like, okay, you messing with us? Where's the joke? Nope. Oh, this is real. This is sincere. Okay, got it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you'll figure it out if you see it. But it was good.
Rory's one of the good ones. We're rooting for him.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, I'm just saying like, he just fills his act with so much silliness, which is one of the reasons people love him. He's so good at being silly that when he made a sincere turn at the end, you keep waiting for the twist. And okay, this is real. Got it.
Oh, he went sincere on it, huh?
Yeah, he went sincere at the end. And I'm not shitting on it. It just caught me off guard. And like I said, the whole time I was like, I kept waiting for him to pull the rug out, and he never did. I mean, he turns it into a joke.
Well,
but there's,
all right, we'll watch it. Don't ruin it.
Chunk at the end. Yeah. But yeah, that was good. That's probably the first comedy special I've seen in a while. I just comedy special I've seen in a while. I saw live comedy this week. I don't know if we want to talk about that, but yeah, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. But I went to the Comedy Store as a patron, paid for tickets. It was Katie's idea.
Yeah.
And oh boy, I'll just leave it at that. Oh boy. Celebrity comic doing crowd work and only crowd work, and not even interesting crowd work. Literally opened with the lady next to me at my table. Hey, what's your favorite sexual position? And I kept making eye contact with him because I wanted him to engage me. And of course, the asked three or four people, what do you do for a living? And yes, I'm always rooting for the comic, but you know, we've both made it clear how we feel about crowd work. And I kept eye contact with him, begging, just hoping that he would ask me what I did for a living. I had a good one locked and loaded. I was saying, I'm a comedian that doesn't do crowd work. And I never got to use that line, but he probably could read it on my face. But yeah, I won't say who it was. But and I like the guy. He's a comedic character actor. I don't know if I've seen any of his real stand-up, but 15 minutes of real pedestrian bullshit crowd work. $40 ticket. Right
on. Now, this show that you were on, okay, I know you're singling out two people. How many people were on the lineup total?
Seven or eight. We'll call it eight. Two of them were celebrities. There was a couple of people that I didn't know that did fine, that did actual stand-up. But the guy I'm talking about did goddamn awful crowd work, and then another lady who I like just stared at a notebook the whole time on stage, which I understand is a thing. I've done it at open mics. $40 ticket at the in the main room at the Comedy Store. I'd love it if you could just remember your jokes and not have to flip through notebook. But that's, so that's me.
The non-celebrities, how did you feel about the quality of the show?
C+. It's fine. It was fine. It's nothing I would want to go see again. But I understand the environment we're in. You know, it's a tourist trap, essentially. You know, no, people visiting L.A. and want to come to the Sunset Strip and see some of this stuff. They just want to see the celebrity. They don't care that
comedy's very popular. There's a surefire bet you're going to see a famous comedian at the Comedy Store. So you go there. And the famous comedians, they don't get to work out in anonymity. So they go and they drop in and have notebook sets and this and that. I would be mad if I was.
There's plenty of places to do that. Don't charge the crowd $40 a ticket. Plenty of places in town to do your little notebook workout.
Where though? It's probably still $40 at the Improv, $40 at Laugh Factory.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Other places. I used to see Maria Bamford at open mics all the time.
Maria's a different. That's a whole different beast. You can't compare anybody's to Maria's purity. And work ethic. Oh, we got elegance just purring in my lap right now. Sorry, distracted by my boys. I'm worried I got that toxoplasmosis, man. I've just been.
What's that?
Where you huff the cat turds too much, and then you'll do whatever they say.
Wait, what? If the cat turds, if they shit too much?
If you can get, it's toxoplasmosis, and it's where you can go crazy from cat poop, and then you'll I think that's the lore, is that then they can control your mind.
Huh. Interesting.
Isn't that right, elegance?
Yeah, that is the only downside to a cat is, I clean it every day.
The mind control.
I can't tolerate the Dukes. You got to keep that shit cleaned out every day.
Yeah, I can't. Well, my whole house is a fucking mess because I've been crippled. I'm like, I got to get on this soon. I mean, I handle the Dukes, but I got three boxes down here for two boys. And I feed them well.
All right. Hold on.
I don't know if this is compelling podcasting.
How often do you clean your cat shit box?
And I put an extra box down after I hurt my legs, and I got more dust to fuck around with. And
oh my god!
Let's talk about the world.
Let's take some phone calls.
Let's take some calls. Let's talk some texts. We've been asking. You've been asking. You want to go to these texts or the calls?
We got a few calls here. We'll do a couple calls and a couple texts. How's that?
Let's do that.
And 323-364-1541. That's 323-364-1541 in that order.
Hey, guys. Just started listening to the podcast recently, and it's not necessarily a big question, but it's just kind of basic. What would you say your guys' favorite form of caffeine is, like the thing that works the best for you? Because oftentimes I find myself falling into energy drinks, but I also do coffee, and the energy drinks have kind of lost their luster with me, where they don't really work as much anymore. So I've kind of moved on to trying to find like a really good alternative caffeine source to get me through my day, because I work from like 7 a.m. to 4 or 5 o'clock at night. And sometimes the day just feels like it drags on once that you hit like the like third or fourth hour in the day. And I was just kind of wondering if you guys had any insight on that. Anyways, thank you guys.
If you're listening to jazz and drinking energy drinks, those cancel each other out. That's a net neutral result. Slamming a monster and then just prelude to a summer evening or whatever flute solo you're trying to get down on afterwards.
Oh boy, are you a big caffeine guy?
Black coffee, baby. Drinking black coffee that I made 2 days ago. That's been in the fridge.
Oh yeah,
I'm drinking cold black coffee right now. It's not enjoyment. It's gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get coffee cocktails pretty much, or people have their special order. I'm like, nah, just black coffee or a cold brew or an iced coffee. I just don't really mess with the dressing.
Nothing in it. No creamer, no nothing.
Nah.
What about energy drinks? Have you ever been an energy drink guy?
No, I don't think those are good for you at all.
No.
And
No.
Why does it look the way it looks?
What do you
mean? You ever see what a monster?
Color?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do they
gross.
Make it that color? Because then why is it in a can so you can't see it?
Well, there you go.
But no, on the road,
might not
I'll
drink
do
it if you can see it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do like a Red Bull, the original size, smaller cans. Mm-hmm. I'll do one of those if I don't want to have a coffee at night. I'm like, I got shows and I'm dragging ass, I'll have one of those.
Yeah. That used to be a big guilty pleasure. I haven't had one of those this year either, because I've cut out all processed
sugar.
All
sugar and gross shit.
But I used, that's one where I was like, I gotta chill. I know it's absolute poison garbage. There's nothing. It has to be, right? It's all chemicals. But man, on tour back in the day, there was a tour we did where it was me, Ryan Singer, and Andy Sanford about 11 years ago. And we did about 10, 11 days. And we went and got groceries at the beginning of stuff that, like drinks, canned drinks, water, stuff, snacks. And we bought, I mean, it was something ungodly. We bought like 48. I forgot if they were the 4-packs or the 8-pack. But individually, we had about 48 of the mid-size cans. And they were gone in about 5 days. Like, we were just crushing them because it was just such long drives. And it was like, all right, I'll just fucking drink two of these and drive 6 hours tonight. Y'all take a nap. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at the end of that tour, I was like, we should all be dead by now. This is not good.
Yeah, those things are, it's trouble. It's trouble. Like the athletes, when you see the athletes that are drinking the stuff, I was told, like, it's always water. Like the athletes.
When they have to hold the can, like people that are sponsored by.
It's water in there. They don't want you drinking that stuff. Like they're like, please don't drink this product. We need you to win these competitions. I drink a lot. I was drinking a lot. Mm-hmm. And it fucks up your sleep. It fucks, you know, like I was worried about pissing out nutrients when I was reading right after I broke my leg. They're like, oh, coffee could be bad if you drink a lot of it. But it's also the same, like, just drink a lot of water. You're peeing out all these nutrients you need, calcium that you need to regrow the bones. So I kind of have eased up on how much coffee I'd normally have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just it's, you know, it's like marijuana. It's a plant. It's from the earth, man.
Absolutely.
I think that's your safe bet to have.
Sure.
Some caffeine, brother. That's what I'm going to tell you.
I've got addicted to I have a drink at Starbucks, and iced triple espresso in a grande cup with a splash of heavy cream. And oh boy,
iced
am I addicted to that.
Triple espresso.
Give me three shots of espresso over ice, put a little heavy cream in there.
Do they look at you fattest, when you order that?
Give me the fattest dairy you have. Get any lard, you could just throw some of that in there.
Do they judge? Do they judge you?
No, I don't think you know.
I don't know if I'm thinking more of the triple espresso. I don't know if that's crazy. Because I always thought it's like how European when you just get one espresso and you sit there with the tiny cup.
The little one, yeah.
And like you're supposed to hang. How long am I supposed to take to drink this?
Yeah, exactly. One's just not enough. Like, even if the caffeine is enough, I need more liquid. I want to spend longer enjoying this.
No, that's so, okay. When you get an Americano, which is an espresso with water in it.
Yeah, which just does not sound fun to me. I replace that with some dairy.
Well, and I still get a 16-ounce one because I want more drink.
Mm-hmm.
I want to drink this for a while. I want to pace myself.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly why I upped it to three. I started with one, and then I upped it to two. And
got any heart problems, Dave?
I'm actually down from quads. I did a little bit of a quad for a while. Actually, I'm glad that you asked. Went to the doctor a few weeks ago.
Glad that you asked.
Glad that you asked. Man, let me tell you something. There's nothing more satisfying than going back to the doctor. Did I tell you this? I went to the doctor about a year ago, and I got this about 70-year-old Russian female doctor whose personality is exactly what you might imagine, just very stone-faced, very blunt. And she said, every problem you'll have is because you're fat. Your knees hurt because you're fat. You snore because you're fat. Everything is, I was like, yeah, I know. Anyway, went back 6 months later, 55 pounds lighter. And got a little smile out of her, got a little personality out of her. She was happy for me. I was like, I took your fat speech to heart. But anyway, blood pressure, very good. Cholesterol, very good. Not pre-diabetic. Everything's good, man. Yeah, no heart trouble as of right now.
Good on you.
Yeah, man. Down 55. It been in a holding pattern for a few weeks at 55 because of birthday week. I kind of went nuts, but
gotta let your health. Gotta have something.
Gotta get back on it. You know. Gotta get back to it. But speaking of that, I got a fun new exercise that I want to talk about real quick. I've been kind of making up my own little exercises with the dumbbells and the kettlebells.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
And this is a fun one right here. is fun.
It's kind of how it sounded every time you described your exercises. Sure. You're just making them up.
It's fucking working, dude. Doing it, man. Here's what you do. I ran across some little YouTube video about strength endurance, not just cardio endurance and not just strength training, but strength endurance, meaning, like, for example, I do a lot of chair squats where you just sit down in the chair and stand back up, but I do sets of 10, sets of 20, and I saw this whole video about, like, hey, try to do 100 without stopping, because things happen at rep 20 and 30 and 40 that don't happen if you stop at 10 or 15, you know. So anyway, I did 100 chair squats without stopping the other day. But on that same principle, now I told you about kind of my lazy exercises. Like if I'm watching a ball game and I know I need to exercise, but I just don't have it in me, I will literally just grab a dumbbell and just stand with it, you know, just hold it down by my side. But anyway, I've taken that principle and I've elevated it literally a little bit. It depends on how strong you are, whatever. But for me, I'll take a 25, 30-pound dumbbell, right? And I'll just, with one dumbbell with one hand, and press it directly over my head. Hold my, like I'm raising my hand to ask the teacher a question. And I don't worry about how long I'm going to hold that hold, I set a goal of like 10, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, but it all depends on how heavy the weight is too. But for example, for a 25-pound weight, now I can go 20 minutes without stopping. And what I mean is I'll grab it, hold it up over my head, and usually, you know, I can do that for about 45 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever, but that doesn't matter. As soon, hold it as long as I can, and then when I get tired, without setting it down, I bring it down, but I don't sit on the ground, switch hands, and go back up with the other hand. And just hold that as long until you get tired and switch. But my point is, set a goal of like whatever, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Today I'm going to try to do 30. But just never set it down. Just hold it up with one. Because I like the process of while one arm is holding the weight up, the other side of my body is getting a rest. So then switch, do that, then switch. And never sit it down for, you know, X amount of minutes. But that's been fun. I'm serious. You should try that. Works your shoulders, works your back, gets your core going, and just your general strength endurance. So, yeah, a little shit like that. That's something you could do even with a bum leg. You could do that sitting in a chair.
I got my little dumbbells upstairs. I did some of those. Gave up.
What kind of exercises are you doing?
I lift them.
With just the upper body.
I lift them until I feel that's enough.
Good job, buddy.
I was waiting for a pizza to show up. I'm like, I could do some curls. And then I realized they dropped the pizza on the door, and I was just, my back turned to the front window doing curls sitting on a chair at 9 o'clock at night. With the note that says, leave it on the table by the door. Like, don't disturb me. Because I'm like, you don't have to ring the doorbell. I got to wrangle the cats anyway. But so the note's like, leave the pizza. So like, please leave the pizza. Do not disturb me sitting in this chair with my back to you doing curls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the big Lebowski my pre-pizza workout. Pause. Yeah.
But yeah, I've been paranoid lately because even though I've been working out a lot and I'm changing shit up, I'm still fairly sedentary in that, you know, I watch a lot of ball games. I sit and listen to a lot of records. So I don't know. I saw some video or something, just the dangers of blood clots. And there used to be a PSA years ago, late night radio. It was about truck drivers getting deep vein thrombosis, DVT.
DVTs, blood clots. That's what I had to worry about with the thing around.
So I'm just so paranoid about that. So like when I watch a game, even if I don't feel like doing anything, I'll just grab a dumbbell and hold it and stand up or walk around the apartment, you know, during the entire inning and then sit down for a minute in between innings. But yeah, just prolonged periods of just sitting on my ass. I'm really trying to work around that. So,
all right.
Don't want to get no blood clot.
I got a utility worker knocking on my front door right now, and I don't know what
What's he
wants.
Want?
I don't know what this fool wants. What's They're always deal? Dicking around with the water lines around here. Some, I don't know.
And grab another call real quick.
Let's do that.
323
enthralling podcast today.
323-364-1541.
Hey, Dave and Kyle. This is Stephen in Connecticut. Been enjoying Dave as you've discovered the world of jazz. I discovered the world of jazz back in 2001. I'm a lot older than you guys. The Ken Burns jazz documentary series. I followed it from the first step right on through, and I thought it was excellent. And Dave, I like your taste. I like the music that you're playing on the show. You know, keep it up. Keep playing more. Kyle, get well soon. So sorry to hear about your accident. I'm glad you can play guitar while you're convalescing. I play a lot now. I'm 66. I'm in two senior guitar groups. I recommend playing with others if you can. Either invite them over or once you become more mobile, get together with them because you make more progress faster watching other people play. That's my experience. Anyway, enjoy Boogie Monster very much. Thanks for all the hours of entertainment. You guys take care. Be well. Bye.
That's a great point. Do you ever jam? You ever jam with buddies?
But I don't play like that. I just play power chords and stuff. So occasionally, you know, my buddy Shane Brendan came over here, is playing some drums. I'm so out of the loop on how to even hang out with other people and play music.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm just
out of the loop on how to hang out.
Well, I'm just Of even just saying like, okay, oh, this will be in the key of E, and then was out, mm-hmm. you know, here's a basic 1-4-5 structure, and you can solo here, and I don't know how to do any of that stuff. When I was in a band, it was, here's the little noisy bit that I think might make a good song, and then we all play that, and somebody goes like, oh, what if we go here with this chord? It's not like jazz where it's like, all right, bass player, solo, all right, saxophone player, solo. So I'm not at that level. But maybe that's the way to just get, you know, hang out and be like, all right, let me I don't know. I don't know if I want it that much.
That always seems so fun to me, though, like just hanging out, regardless of what type of music or genre you're trying to play, but just jamming with buddies, just dicking around and then coming up with something. That just always seems, because you can't really, I mean, I guess you could do that in comedy. Like, yeah, you can have writing sessions and riff sessions, but like,
yeah, you know,
stand-up itself is a solo act, but just being able to hang out with buddies and goof around and actually come up with something or get better at your instrument, you know.
And it's good, but it's also good when everybody's like, oh, here's a standard, we'll play this song and get through it. And like, hey, we all know it and we're all playing it along. Like, I don't know songs like that. Mm-hmm. I can learn them. We'll see. I mean, I appreciate that advice, though. I don't know if I'm at the level of like guitar groups and everything might be. Mm-hmm. I thought about less. I thought about, like, what if I actually sign up for actual lessons? Mm-hmm. We'll see. I've been fucking around. Shout out to Summer School Guitar Pedals. They sent me some fun pedals. They sent me a cool reverb pedal, so I was playing Moon Over Marin by Dead Kennedys. Mm-hmm. A little surfy
tune. Love that surf guitar.
Yeah. But yeah, good. Yeah, the jazz, you really – this is your new thing, man. You've awoken people.
I'm so obsessed
with love of jazz.
Well, it might be a little early to talk about this, but I got a project coming next year. I'll just say, look out for a jazz radio show. Speaking of which, I'll give a plug right now. I found a great new, like I've said before, I'm just kind of obsessed with like 50s, 60s, and 70s jazz. I haven't really tried to seek out anything new, but I finally found something new that's really dope. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's a duo. They sound like a law firm.
No, that's Pier, right. Duo's right.
Pierpont and Hegelson. Okay. P-I-E-R-P-O-N-T. That's one guy, Pierpont. And the other guy's, I guess, Hegelson? H-E-L-G-E-S-O-N. Pierpont and Hegelson. Album is called Of Time. And it's just two dudes from Minnesota playing like modern instrumental jazz / soul, but like everything kind of has like a 60s or 70s noir film vibe or a little bit of like James Bond vibe, but just great, really cool. I mean, I don't even really know how to describe it other than that. Just kind of got a 60s, 70s vibe, but just really cool shit. Check out Pierpont and Hegelson. I think they only have one album out. It's called Of Time. So there you go. Check that one out.
I got home at midnight last night. I told you, I got into the wine and the weed a little bit and was having fun. And I was out on the deck. I'm like, ah, let's put music on. I haven't been putting music on in a while. And you're talking about mellow and all this. And I just have I have a tape player. I've got this record player / tape player / CD player thing. And I got all these old tapes. I put one in. And it was it was the Rudiments, which is a ska band. And they were covering I Don't Want to Hear It by Minor Threat. Uh-huh. And it's just blasting out over my backyard. And I'm like, hell yeah. It's midnight on a Monday. I'm like, I think we can chill out a little bit more than this. Okay, I'm like, yeah, this is not Monday night. This is not irritate your neighbor's music hour. But I'm like, yeah, I think I got to start finally. I haven't been playing music this whole time. Like around the house all day, and not in a bad, sad way, but it's just quiet. I don't put anything on. I've been sitting outside reading. Or sitting inside reading, but I don't have music going. But it's been nice. It's just me shuffling around, having in-depth conversations with these cats. Again, toxoplasmosis, starting to worry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, so think of these jazz recommendations. Got plenty. I was listening to some of the mixes you had sent me for a while, and I was listening to Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
And just the past 2 months, just been quiet around the house. I've just been shuffling around with not in a, like I said, not in a bad way. Just it's summertime. I'm enjoying the birds and, you know, the sounds of summertime outside.
Nice.
No, that's great too. Like I listen to so much music that when there are times that I don't, like you said, just being quiet around the house, it is like, oh, this is nice. I guess I don't have to listen to music all the time. I like a little peace and quiet around the house. That last caller was talking about the Ken Burns documentary, and you just mentioned The Grateful Dead. It made me think. I've seen that Ken Burns documentary 10 times. I love it. There's like 9 or 10 episodes. It's just so good. It's so thorough. But two of the guys that they keep going back to, they interview a bunch of jazz musicians, just like a regular doc, getting some kind of first-person perspective from some of these musicians. But there's two brothers, and they're fairly well-known in the jazz world, but Wynton Marsalis and Bradford. Is it Bradford or Branford?
Branford.
But those Nickname are two chicken. Of the coolest, most well-spoken. Like, both of them have just got this, like, oracle ability to where I just want to listen to them talk about anything. But obviously, they're both so knowledgeable and skilled in jazz. But just listening to either one of those guys talk, I mean, even if you don't like jazz, it's worth putting on that Ken Burns documentary just to see these guys talk. Just the way they speak and the passion, like it's really compelling. Listen to these dudes speak. But anyway, Branford, I did not know this. I just learned this last night. He used to, after watching the interview, I can't tell if he was officially in the Grateful Dead for a while or just kind of played with them and toured with them. But yeah, this jazz musician, I think Branford is, I know Wynton is a trumpet player. And I don't know what Branford plays, but anyway, I'm assuming it's a horn, a trumpet, or a saxophone. But yeah, I was listening to him talk. He was on some video or some round table talking about the Grateful Dead. And then in the context of it, it's like, oh shit, he toured with them. But I never knew that. I was a big Grateful Dead guy, but didn't know one of the Marsalis was in the Grateful Dead. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
So there's that.
The Marsalises.
Yeah, the Marsalises.
Give it up for the Marsalises.
But seriously, check out Ken Burns' jazz documentary if you haven't seen it, just to see those. I mean, they're just so... I like watching anybody speak who's passionate about what they're talking about.
I probably would enjoy it, but also I almost fell asleep with the words Ken Burns jazz documentary.
Ah, oh, dude, you're missing out.
I feel like that would be a lullaby for me at any time of day.
It's so good. If you want to watch one episode, like, I would say if you want to just watch one episode, my favorite is they break it up in eras, but the I think maybe it's episode 9 where they talk about like. What is it, like 50 to 55 or something like the early 50s. So they talk a lot about Thelonious Monk, a lot of Miles Davis, a lot of John Coltrane, all those guys. But, it's so good. But, no, I know what you're saying because I will often put on a Ken Burns doc to go to sleep. Civil War, baseball, World War II. He's got so many. But, yeah.
Yeah,
it's good
Ken
stuff.
Burns, he's been busy out there.
Yeah. He knows his shit.
Dave, August is the perfect time to hit reset before the autumn rush begins. I don't know if you know that. And honestly, I can't think of a better place to start than my closet. That's why I love shopping at Quince. Quince is all about fewer, better pieces. Their clothes are made with premium materials, built to last, and designed to become the ones you reach for day after day. Quince specializes in everyday staples that work harder. If you're still hanging on to the same worn-out basics, Quince makes it easy to upgrade. They have premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60, perfect fit, structure, and high-quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. You can see that on their website. They work directly with ethical factories. How important is that? And cut out the middlemen. Mm-hmm. So you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. I got corduroy pants from them. That's what I got. They fit good. They look good. What do you need? Go to Quince. They got it.
They got all kinds of stuff. They sent me a couple of shirts because sometimes you run across an occasion that requires more than a black holy pocket tee.
I think that would go back to that talking point of you're hanging out of those same worn out basics.
Yeah, I got too many basics. But here's what you do. Upgrade your everyday. Go to quince.com/boogie. You're going to get free shipping on your order and a 365-day return if needed. Now available in Canada and the UK, too. That's Quince.com. Quince.com/boogie for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/.
We got any boogie monster-related topics?
What, you got a topic you want to talk about? You finally did some research?
I mean, well,
we'll throw it on you.
We were talking about Flock before.
Uh-huh.
The Flock cameras. But were we talking about, like, it's weird, like, you know, how the UK, how London has, you know, so much CCTV.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this show, The Slow Horses. And, like, that show couldn't be made if it wasn't with the access to CCTV. Like, oh, well, pull up this grid to find this guy. And I'm trying to, like, reconcile with that here. Like, what's invasive about the Flock cameras is just, like, constant monitoring.
Sure. Did you hear about the story this week with the weed bust?
Oh, wasn't it, like... Tell me about it. I heard some.
I just know the broad strokes. I just know the broad strokes. But apparently, some dude in Wisconsin, where I guess weed is not legalized, drove to Michigan to a dispensary, and then drove back to Wisconsin with his purchase. And in the meantime, got stopped and busted because they tracked his car via Flock cameras, leaving one state, going to another weed-friendly state. They found him all the way to a dispensary and back, and I guess relayed that info to somebody, some law enforcement, and they pulled him over and arrested him. Like, ugh, dude. And someone made a great point, too. Like, okay, all right, if we can do that, can we get on some of these missing children or some of these murders or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what the fuck are we doing? What the fuck are we doing using technology to track an individual going to a dispensary? He's not going to a cartel's warehouse with a flatbed fucking truck. He's driving his personal car to a dispensary, most likely to get a small amount of personal marijuana. So this is what we're doing with this technology.
I wonder if it's same reasoning, like when you get, you know, I forget, somebody got a jaywalking ticket in L.A. and there's like, there's somebody freebasing right there, and the cops are basically like, yeah, but you're going to pay for this. You're going to pay the ticket. They won't.
Oh, yeah, because it's not about stopping crime. It's about raising funds.
Yeah,
it's about fundraising.
What's difficult, I really enjoy all these messages out there like, please do not, whatever you do, get this brand of paint and spray it into the lens. Do not.
Do not put this type of tape over your license plate.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of those, too. Like, hey, no, I'm saying don't do this.
Yeah, it would be a shame.
Wink.
It's the surveillance state stuff. I mean, obviously we're like wrapping up the end of the episode here, but now I hear very loud noises outside my house, which I'm guessing that's what the city worker was about to tell me. They're doing something. Mm-hmm. So I want to go see what's up there, but, it's, you know, it's who owns them, like who's profiting off all these things, followed by, like, it's all private enterprise. It's just surveillance day. It's like everything's surveillance, but it's also how much shit do we sign off every day? Yes. Allow cookies. Yes. Track my phone. Like,
sure.
Whereas I get that that's a thing to be angry about, but then look at how they're already following every move you make online. And we're like, yeah, but I like Instagram. So like, it just,
yeah,
it,
but
just,
I think the difference is,
I know there's
not
a difference.
Get arrested for accepting
cookies. I know there's a difference. I'm going to the larger idea of just surveillance and how everything. How I ordered pizza from one place, and then I get an email, a random email from Domino's. Don't forget, you have points with us. Like,
oh yeah,
because I looked up. So our rage towards those things is valid, but also, it's everywhere, and I'm not excusing it. I'm like, just don't forget. These motherfuckers, everybody's getting their claws in you one way or another. Now, that's, yeah, to prosecute over that, that's the scary shit. And that's just, and it's who has access to that information of like, well, why do you want to track somebody?
And I just don't know how it's legal. I mean,
legality
what the fuck
has,
is
no,
the, what,
legality
the
has nothing
Amendment
to do with
for?
Anything anymore. It's like, it's a real,
not.
Like, there's no, it doesn't matter what's legal. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get you riled up about your favorite boy down there in D.C., but laws are created by the richest people now. And so that's, you know, who's got the contracts for these Flock cameras? They're going to get them put up, and then it's going to be watch the crime for defacing a Flock camera be like 5 years in prison, domestic terrorism charges.
Sure.
I don't know. I know there's the DFlock website, so you can see where all the Flock cameras are. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't at all defile these things, and you shouldn't at all make sure you keep your phone or anything that can track you to those locations. Leave that at home.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't deface them in the first place. So you definitely
of course not.
Shouldn't leave shouldn't forget your phone at home and wear basic clothing that can't be tracked and no logos. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do any of that stuff.
Cover up your tattoos.
Yeah. Wear a mask. Wear a mask. Just like you're not doing anything wrong by wearing a mask, as evidenced by these ICE agents. They're not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. They're just wearing a mask.
Yeah.
They're making a lot of noise outside the house right now, Dave. I think I'm going to go and find out what the... Because last time I wasn't even here, and then there was a flood in my front yard my neighbor told me about. So I think I want to go get eyes on this.
Yeah.
Maybe they're putting a flock camera in my front yard.
They probably are.
Well, that was the story about they put a flock camera up, and it was pointed at the parking lot of a cannabis dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put up in their property like a sign over the front of it. Like, nope. Yeah, fuck, I can't. We're all moving to the Netherlands. Man. Let's go. Oh, Dave. You had a birthday. I can walk again. These are good news. These are good little pieces of news.
Things are turning around, buddy.
Let's look at that. Let's have good vibes.
Things are turning around. Your show's tonight, right?
Tonight and tomorrow, these little recordings.
Tomorrow, okay. Yeah. So the tomorrow, y'all can go see them tomorrow.
No, those sold out quick. Thank you, Portland. Those sold out quick. Okay, you can't see me in Whidbey Island this Saturday.
Where's that?
Cats are beating the shit out of each other. Whidbey Island is north of Seattle. Little art center, kind of fun little gig I'm doing up there. Going to fly in an airplane for the first time in 2 months. It's been the longest I've gone without flying in forever.
I mean, this is probably the longest you've gone without flying since you started comedy, right? Yeah. Or since you started professional comedy.
Yeah, 2 months.
Yeah.
And so we're going to navigate the airport for that because there's a big old structure fire next to the train tracks here in Portland, so there's no trains going north out of Portland for the foreseeable future. Because you want to talk about it's like, well, this building might fall. Then tear it down. Then be a city. Demo this building that's been abandoned for however many years. It lit on fire last week, and all the floors fell out of it, so just the walls. It's next to freight tracks, which the freight the Union Pacific is like, nah, fuck it. We're running the trains, which now you have freight trains vibrating the ground next to a unsupported, burnt-out structure. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm.
It's going to be interesting. But anyway, that's where I'll be, Whidbey Island, this Saturday night,
buddy.
Or Wenatchee, Washington. In 2 weeks, those are my makeup shows from when I broke. Those were the weekend I was supposed to go do right after I broke my knee. So we're doing those makeup shows. So yeah, that's what's going on with me.
Good to see you, at least somewhat up and about.
We're getting there, buddy. We're getting back to it.
Well, good man. Well, good times, buddy. Good catching up. Go do some fun shows.
This episode is a little all over the place. Sorry about that. I got some distractions. Outside my house right now.
I'll go stand around with a dumbbell and a jazz record. I'm going to go have some fun.
I like you pumping iron to jazz.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
I like just this conundrum, this enigma that you've become.
Go watch some sci-fi movies.
Yeah, Dave just naked with a fucking kettlebell, some wailing saxophone solo. Well, Hell 2000's on screen.
I like to keep you guessing, buddy.
I love it, man.
No moss grows on me. Is that the phrase?
Moss can't gather moss on a rolling stone, I believe.
Something.
I'll tell you, I'm pretty mossy right now.
I would imagine.
Real mossy. All right, let me go see what these dickheads are doing in my house.
All right, man. You be good.
Hey, you too, buddy. Talk to you a bit.
All right.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Okay, thank you.